I want to start the year off this way. I am thinking about preaching through the book of Philippians, and I haven't figured out yet. I may want to do one of the pastorals, and maybe Titus. But I'm thinking about doing Philippians, and here's the shtick in Philippians. Paul's in prison, so that's context, where he is. And the whole book's about how to be filled with joy. And so it's like, okay, yeah, I think I'm going to write a treatise on how to be filled with joy from prison to let you guys know that this is serious stuff and that it works, you know, that Christ really is the person who gives joy. He starts off the letter by saying, by just looking at the people, that he loves this church in Philippi, and he says, man, here's what I'm jazzed about. I'm jazzed about this reality, that the guy, the Lord Jesus, who began a good work in you is faithful. That's what we just were singing about for the last 20 minutes, the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus. And that because he's faithful, that he's going to complete the work in you that he started. And like Brett said, the word won't come back void. It will accomplish what God intended for it to accomplish, period. And so he's excited that the people that he loves are going to be, it's going to turn out the way God intended it to. Because why? Not because they're faithful, not because they won't hit the ditch every once in a while. The whole book is about that. But that because Christ is faithful, and he that started a good work in you is faithful, and he'll complete it. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Yeah, so that's good news, right? And that's how we need to look at each other. Because if you're looking at me, wanting me to hold something up, you're going to be disappointed. But if you look at the Christ who's faithful to me and who is holding me up, you won't be disappointed. Because he will keep me till the end. That's his promise. And so that's the promises that we were singing about, that we're rejoicing about. So, you know, and then chapter 2, you know, Philippians has some of these passages that are the greatest passages that we've all known and studied. In chapter 2, he wants them to rejoice and he wants them to be filled with joy. And one of the things that's joy buster is disunity. So he wants them to be unified and in one mind and spirit. And the way to do it is to be humble. And then, of course, he starts with this extraordinary treatise about the Lord Jesus and how the Lord Jesus was humble, the humble guy, emptied himself, became obedient unto death, and God exalted him and made him, you know, gave him the name above every name, so that at the name Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus was Lord to the glory of the Father. And so there's that great passage. And then in the next passage, he goes, here's another joy buster. And that's when you become confident in your flesh and you begin to be self-righteous and you begin to think that anything other than the finished work of Jesus Christ is your righteousness. And he unpacks that in chapter 3. And then he goes into 4 and gets into all this practical stuff. And he has this, let me tell you about another joy buster. It's anxiety. And let me tell you what God's solution for anxiety is. And then he says, and here's another joy buster, is that what I think that Bubba has one of these things that cycled through that says, you know, whatever you put in your brain is going to come out your in your life or something like that. And so he talks about what to think on. And then he talks about this mystery pill, if you will, that is great joy buster, but he wants us to be filled with joy, so he talks about it. And it is this. And this is what I want to tell you about this year. And what I want to give you, too, is a context for one of the greatest verses that's on, that everybody has memorized and that's on everyone's refrigerator. And that is this, that the greatest joy buster that I've ever seen in someone's life is discontentment. I'm not happy with my situation. Not happy with my situation. I'm not happy with my job. I'm not happy with where I live. I'm not happy, this is my confession, with getting elderly. and the difficulty it is to stay not portly. I'm not happy, like, it's just, there's so many things, you know. I'm not happy with who I am or how I am or what I'm going through. And this discontentment is, it's just something that crushes people. I honestly don't think that I've seen a more constant, like, burr under people's saddle. And that's kind of what discontentment is. It's like, you know, like, because we wind through it, we're like, you know, it is what it is. And we have all our little ways of working through it. But at the end of the day, there's this little burr under our saddle, and we're kind of discontent. And we're discontent. And Paul talks about contentment, and he talks about it from prison. And so let's hear what he has to say. And of course, you know, he's always using this joy word, you know, rejoice in joy. You're just going to see in every little theme that he has. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly now at length that you have revived your concern for me. And you were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. In other words, you were concerned for me, but I was in jail, and you didn't have any opportunity to care for me or even talk to me about it. But word got to me that you were concerned for me, and I'm glad, even though you had no opportunity to help. Not that I'm speaking of being in need. Remember where he is, and he's not in jails like here. I mean, we came from Phoenix, and Sheriff Joe's jails were kind of known for every time you ate something, you know, it said not fit for human consumption, and the bologna always was green. You know, there's stories about this. You can look it up. I promise it's all true. But the jails that day were even worse. If nobody brought you food from the outside, you didn't eat. And he says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned that when whatever situation I'm in, I am to be content. So I want to camp for just 1 second on that phrase. First of all, contentment is something that has to be learned. And so for those of you who aren't content yet, or haven't found that place of contentment, that just means that you're still learning, right? And how do you learn contentment? I mean, think about it. How do you learn contentment? Somebody just guess out loud for me. How? Hey, yeah, how do you learn it? How? If you're going to be my coach and you're going to teach me contentment, how are you going to set that up for me? Somebody want to guess? You're going to put me in a bunch of places where I'm not. Right? So here's what you're going to do. You're going to turn. This is no hit on my wife at all. My wife is the joy of my life. You're going to turn the temperature down in the house. And then further. And then further. And then further. You're going to say things like, get a sweater if you're cold. And I'm going to say, but I might die. And you literally could preserve meat and things like that. And so you're going to, okay, so if you're the person who's going to teach contentment, you're going to put me in a lot of situations where I have to learn it. How many of you have been in some situations where you've had to learn to be content? Yeah, exactly. And then he says this, he says that I had to learn that in whatever situation I am to be content. So you see how he didn't presume that he was content? He said, I had to learn that no matter what situation I am to be content. Okay, so here's the deal. I don't know what situation you're in, but you are to be content. Somebody say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you're saying that to the Lord, not to me. Right? Because he was the one that said it, not me. Right? So I am to be content in whatever situation I am. I don't know if you guys saw the Ole Miss football game. You know what I'm saying? You know, I am to be content. And I am, you know, it was very difficult. I had to learn. So here's, I'm playing around, but you know what I'm talking about. These are actually very serious things and very big deals. And he didn't listen to Paul. He says, I know how to be brought low and how to abound. Now, in the King James, that word is abased. I know how to be abased. And it basically is to be completely without anything. And I know how to abound. That is, I know how to have discretionary income. Like, I know how to live. I know how to be content when I got a bunch of stuff. And by the way, I would argue that the most discontented people that I've ever met are not people without stuff, but with people with a lot of stuff. That's in my experience. There's more discontent when you have stuff than when you don't have stuff. And anybody out there want to say amen to that? All right, good. Well, all right. So, I mean, you know, y'all are feeling me, because that's my experience with it for sure, big time. And then he said, in any and every circumstance. Now, this is a key word, circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and facing hunger, facing abundance, and facing need. Now, he was writing from a place of not plenty and in need, right? He was writing from prison. But he said, I've learned the secret of facing everything in contentment. Any and every circumstance. And so you think about the circumstances of 2022 and you think about the circumstances of 2023. I am to be content no matter what circumstances the Lord puts me in 2023. That's it. You guys know that I had COVID and was down pretty hard with it for a week or two. And at one point I was very content because I was fairly convinced that I was headed to the other side. I had one foot in the Jordan. I could feel the water. I was sniffing out the Golden Gates. And of course, my wife would say, he's such a drama queen. I was pretty sick. And then I got better and felt wonderful last week. And then my medicine ran out on Friday. And then I woke up this morning feeling bad again. And I told Jack on the way here, I just don't like feeling bad, you know. And so what is the Lord telling me? Be content when you're feeling bad. I'm getting to the big picture in a minute, but I want you to hear it, because he said in any and every circumstance, in any and every circumstance. So, you know, I know people that want a better job. In any and every circumstance, be content. And by the way, the fact that you have a job that you don't like is where you learn to be content with a job that you don't like. In any and every circumstance. How many of you have circumstances right now, and you don't have to raise your hand on this, but I just want you to think about it. How many of you have circumstances right now where it's very easy not to be content with the circumstances that I'm in right now? You might have financial pressures. You might be in a place that you don't want to be. The situation in your family may be very unstable, and you have no clue if it's ever going to stabilize. You know what I mean? I don't care. You're in some circumstance right now, or you will be in 2023 that you don't want to be in. And in every circumstance, contentment is this pathway to your joy. And so God says, And he says, I've learned a secret. Now, this word secret, by the way, I'm sure I heard a sermon about this word or something. Then I looked it up, you know, because you hear the sermon, you look it up. But this word secret is actually it's like a mystery, like it's hard to grab your hands on. How many of you have been in a time where you've just really felt like it's hard to be content right now? I mean, my circumstances are really rattling my cage, and it's hard to be content. Well, all of us have been there, right? And so there's a secret to learn how to face these circumstances with contentment. And, well, here's the secret. Let me say one thing. I want you to skip the next slide and go to the following one, if you don't mind. Skip the next slide and go to the following one. And listen what Paul says that he has experienced. To this present hour, this is in 1 Corinthians. We just studied through 1 Corinthians. To this present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We're poorly clothed. We're beaten. And we're homeless. You remember that great book we just studied together? Paul wrote some of it at least homeless. Paul wrote some of it at least hungry, beaten. To this, right now, he said it's happening. To this very present hour, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I'm homeless and I just got beat. And Paul said, I've learned that no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the suffering, no matter what the deck that's been dealt with to me, that I can be content. Job said it this way. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. What did he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what he said. He said, how can I accept good things from the hand of the Lord and not accept bad things? Right? That's contentment. That's understanding it. And then he says this magic line. This magic line, this wonderful spiritual breakthrough line that's on everybody's refrigerator, here's the context of it. The context is that I've learned that whether I'm suffering or whether I'm doing okay, no matter what the circumstance, whether I'm homeless and hungry, thirsty, having just been beaten, not having any clothes on my back, poorly clothed, no matter what my situation is, I've learned to be content. And here's how I've learned it. I've learned it because, go back one verse, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's how I learned it. I learned it because I learned that no matter I was hungry, Christ would strengthen me in my hunger. No matter if I was thirsty, that Christ was there and he would help me get through it. And no matter if I had just been beaten, that Christ was there and he would help me make sense of it all and give me strength in it all. And no matter if I was homeless, that Christ was there and he was strong when I was weak. And what happened was I learned in the circumstances of life that Christ is my strength and Christ is present and I can do all things through the Christ who strengthens me. Suddenly what happens is that I realize that my circumstances and my discontentment are a testimony that I've lost sight of Christ and I don't think that he's there and I don't think that he cares and I don't think that he's present and I don't think that he has power when I'm weak. And it becomes a critique on my heart, contentment does. And that's why I have to learn it. Because when I get put in these situations where I'm not content, my heart gets exposed. And I begin to realize that in some cases I think God dealt me a bad hand. You know, well, you could have gave me a lot more money than you did. You could have gave me a lot better job than you did. You could have had me raised by rich parents and sent to the fancy school so I'd be better off than I am. You know what I mean? It's like all these things where it's kind of we look at God as if he hasn't been caring for us, as if he wasn't the shepherd who knew everything and who wasn't providing for you and who didn't give you these circumstances, that wasn't sovereign over your life and wasn't your strength when you were weak and wasn't present when you were in need. And he was, but he has to teach us that he is. And he teaches us by putting us in circumstances that squeeze our heads. He teaches us by putting us in circumstances that rattle us down to the core. And we realize that we're weak, and we realize that we're helpless, and we realize that Christ is strong, and we realize that he's our strength. And suddenly we realize that we can make it through because Christ is strong. That's it. And I'm telling you this. I've seen people rich and poor rattled by discontentment and everything in the middle from all different things, I don't like this. I don't like this. I mean, you know, from the simplest things, you know, just the simplest things, you know what they are, to the very heaviest things, you know. And listen, I'm telling you, God hasn't dealt you a bad hand. God's faithful to you. And God has promised for his people that he has made all things to work together for good. Everything. That's his promise to you. He's faithful. He began the good work in you. He knew you were going to go into the ditch. He knew that you were going to be rattled. He knew that it was going to expose your heart. He knew that it was going to make you lay hold of him in faith. And he knew that he would get you out of the ditch. I've learned to be content in whatever the circumstance that I have. You'll have a happy new year if you get that one right. You'll have a happy new year. Okay, when it was really cold, you know, wow, I'm content. It's really cold. Y'all, some of you know this, my AC went out. Or heater or whatever that thing is that's supposed to deliver warmth, you know, and we were chilly. We were chilly. The warmest we could get the big parts of our house was 45 degrees. That was cold. That was even colder than Jack likes it. And hey, like she had like a, you know, down parka on. I was like rejoicing it for weird and wrong reasons. But listen, you know, and then sometimes, you know how we are, even about the weather. Too cold, you know, and then it's too hot in the summer, and it's too humid, and it's too dry. And, you know, we're always whining about everything. And you know what God's given us all that for? Well, he gives us all that to water plants and all the other things. But the pressure that it puts on our heart is just an exposure. It's just to say, really, dude, come on. You know, you don't think I can give you strength right now while it's cold? You don't think I can give you strength right now while it's humid? You don't think I can give you strength right now while you're broke? You don't think I can give you strength right now while you're jonesing about, you know, all the, when you're wealthy, you know, the problem there is that there's so many opportunities for you that you're not content with what you have because you're looking at all the stuff you could have. And you have access to all the stuff that you could have because you have money. And God talks about that a lot in his word. And I'm not going to unpack that now. I'm just going to say that no matter what it is, you guys know this, it's easy not to be content. It's easy to act like God's not here. It's easy to act like he's not strong. And I promise you that you can suffer every circumstance because Christ is your strength. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Lord, we're glad to come into a new year. We are learning to be content in every circumstance. And you're putting us in circumstances that are helping us learn. And we're thankful. And we pray that we would learn in those circumstances that we can do all things through you because you're our strength. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we'll surrender ourselves to that, that we'll learn it over and over. And I know that because you're faithful to us, that you're going to put us in all of these different places where we're going to have to learn it. And so I pray that you'll grant us contentment this new year, that you'll grant us a new trust and hope and faith in you so that no matter what the circumstance you put us in, that we can be confident that you're our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.